Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 1. When I was growing up, I heard a lot of stories about my ancestors. I have all these marvelous ancestors, but it wasn't just the ancient ones that we heard stories about. I also heard a lot about my two great-grandfathers. One was a congressman, a U.S. congressman, and apparently a very eloquent speaker, a brilliant mind. And he was a great man, a great orator. I'm sure it's true. I'm sure all the stories are true. My other great-grandfather was, instead of going the lawyer-politician route, he had become a clergyman. Again, brilliant mind, great scholar, but he was known for being so in love with the Lord and so focused on the Lord that he was sometimes not very attentive to the things of this life. The session of the First Presbyterian Church in Statesville, North Carolina, where he pastored, began giving his pay to his wife so that he wouldn't give it away to someone else on the way home. But the story that I found particularly appealing about my great-grandfather Wood is that one day as he was walking through the town, he passed a domestic servant in her uniform of a domestic servant who was pushing a little baby buggy. And being sort of the local pastor to even people in other churches, he was doing the nice thing and speaking to her and complimenting the baby. And he looked there into the crib and he said, "My goodness, what a handsome child." And then he looked a bit startled and he said, "Why, I believe that's my child." And it was. That was his own son, my grandfather, and he had not realized that this was his domestic servant who was out pushing the baby buggy with his son in the baby buggy. Well, that's embarrassing, isn't it? Now, why would I tell that story? Because there are so many people who can look at a creche and they see Mary and Joseph and the little baby and it's all quite cute. It's all very domestic. It's all such a lovely scene. But they haven't a clue who that is in the manger. It's just a baby. It's a cute little baby. I mean, we have this concept that is so bogus about the baby in the manger. I got so sick and tired of away in the manger with Jesus not crying that I wrote my own poem for Christmas. And the first line and the title of the poem are the same. I bet he cried that night. Because I'll bet he cried. You know why he cried? Why would Jesus have cried? He was a baby. And he cried, and he nursed, and he soiled his diapers. He was a baby. And it's not sinful to cry, or nurse, or soil your diapers. He was sinless, virgin born, but he was human. And when the church tries to make it seem like Jesus walked around about 6 inches off the ground, never got hungry, never got tired, we're completely misrepresenting the gospel. But when we fail to preach the truth that this child is God incarnate, then likewise we're failing to preach the gospel. Let's look at John chapter 1. This is God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. As our financial year comes to a close on December 31st, we would be especially grateful to hear from you. This broadcast is funded by the generosity of God's people. And whether you use the postal service or give securely online by going to pastorwood.org or call us at 866-41-ABIDE. In any case, we're grateful for gifts large and small. Every gift matters, and we're trusting God to reward you. He promised he will.
If we do not clearly proclaim the genuine humanity of Jesus Christ, we're not preaching the gospel. We're not telling the truth. We're misrepresenting Jesus, even if only by omission. In other words, we don't have to say, "I don't believe Jesus was really a man," in order to deny the truth of the gospel. If we fail to proclaim, to teach, to show that Jesus was really a man, then we're failing to proclaim the gospel. We're misrepresenting Christ. If we do not deal with the fact that Jesus was tempted in all points, as we are, yet without sin, we misrepresent Jesus. The Bible tells the truth about these things. We need to also. The Bible's very, very clear. Jesus was fully human and absolutely sinless. Tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. That is absolutely essential doctrine, as is the virgin birth. The fact that Jesus was born of a virgin is not some, you know, well, Mark doesn't even talk about it. Why do we need to include that? Because God said so. God is the one who gave us the doctrine of the virgin birth. That wasn't something invented by the church fathers. Isaiah was told by God, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. And Jesus was the ultimate fulfillment of that promise. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And because he was born of a virgin, he did not inherit our sin nature, while the rest of us are born with the guilt of original sin. Jesus was born of a virgin without the guilt of original sin. And Jesus, the perfect, sinless man, lived a perfect, sinless life and then offered that life as the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. We've got to deal with the doctrine of his humanity, his perfect humanity, because every aspect of that is very, very important to the whole picture of salvation. Without that, the gospel isn't true. God has revealed to us who he is through the perfect man, Jesus. But Jesus isn't just the perfect man. He isn't just this sinless, virgin-born man. He is that, but that's not all. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was God. Not the Word was a God, the way that the Jehovah's Witness Bible suggests. In Greek grammar, you can look up the Ernest Cademan Caldwell rule. The Ernest Cademan Caldwell rule is an authoritative established, it's not a hypothesis, it is a description of what is understood to be a fact in Greek grammar, okay? According to the Ernest Cademan Caldwell rule in Greek, I'll read it to you, when the copulative, which is the to be verb, precedes the predicate nominative, then it is a qualitative title and takes the definite article. Now what that means, very simply, is that when it says the Word was God, what that means is that the Word was God, not a God. He was God, the God. He was the only God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Okay, I'm sorry, now my head is starting to swim. He was God, but he was with God? Yes, because God is the triune God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Word was God, and he was with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't overcome it. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at John chapter 8. Jesus is debating some of the religious leaders of his day. In verse 48 of John chapter 8, the Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I'm not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, But there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. At this the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he'll never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham?" That was the question. Who do you think you are, Jesus? Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him. "And you have seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered. "Before Abraham was born, I am." And at this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Did you hear that? Jewish leaders said to him, "Who do you think you are? You're not even 50 years old and you're talking like you're greater than Abraham and that you knew Abraham." Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus took the name of God, Yahweh, I am, and applied it to himself. Anybody who tries to say, "Well, Jesus never claimed to be God," is a nitwit and a liar. They're misrepresenting Jesus, and they haven't got a clue because they haven't read the book. Jesus took the name of God and applied it to himself, and it made the Jewish leaders ready to stone him to death for blasphemy. He made himself out to be equal with God. Guess what? It's because that's who he is. God became a man. The Word became flesh. God became a man. Jesus isn't less than God. He's not kind of like God, a lot like God, almost God. He's God. God in the flesh. God became a man. If we don't preach that, we're misrepresenting the truth. You don't have to say, "Oh, I don't believe that he's God." You just have to fail to teach it. And we've got tons of churches that are too busy trying to teach other more relevant things to bother to tell people the truth of what God says in his word about who Jesus is. And the result is huge percentages of so-called evangelicals don't believe the basic biblical doctrines, and they're certainly not teaching them to the next generation. That's tragic. That's evil. That's deadly. If a parent doesn't teach a child where danger is, "Don't touch that, it's hot. Don't play in the street, there's traffic." If a parent doesn't do that, if they don't teach their child right from wrong, don't lie. All liars will spend forever in the lake of fire. Don't steal. God forbids it. Do not engage in sexual misconduct. All other sins that a man commits are outside himself. But sexual immorality is extraordinarily bad. If we don't teach our children, then we hate them. And God will hold us accountable. We must teach basic biblical doctrine. And in order to teach it, we've got to know it. And in order to know it, we've got to study God's Word. Before Abraham was born, Jesus said, I am. Look at John 17. John 17, Jesus is praying. And he says, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The opening phrase in that section is that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who did this. You and I will not understand how we are supposed to live if we do not understand what it is God says about who Jesus is and what he did. You see, there are some times when I feel I should not have to clean up that mess, because I didn't make that mess. You know what happens to that kind of thinking when I start thinking about Jesus? I go clean up the mess. Why did Jesus come to earth? We were a mess. Well, Jesus didn't make that mess. Well, all things were made by him. Yes, and we blew it. We took paradise and turned it into a sewer. And God, who is rich in mercy, loved us so much that he sent his Son to save us. Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and was obedient to the point of death on a cross. So for me to act like I shouldn't have to get my hands dirty picking up somebody else's trash means that I've got a very sick, sinful attitude that I need to repent of, because I'm supposed to be like Jesus, who didn't insist on his rights, but instead gave everything up in order to save us when we didn't deserve it at all. Do you see why doctrine that is biblical is important? It changes the way we live. If we really believe it, if we start to believe seriously what God says in his word, we won't keep living the way the world does. So, let's don't be like the world that looks at a manger scene and says, oh, how cute. That's Christmassy. Let's realize what it's about. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program, or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.